Going to call this meeting of the UIL State Executive Panel to order at this time. We do have a quorum present. We have an agenda before us. We will be abiding by the University Interscholastic League Constitution and Contest Rules. And need approval for minutes from our April 23rd, 2024 meeting. Need a motion.
So moved.
Got a motion from Mr. Caldwell and a second from Colbert and a second from Dr. Caldwell. All in favor, please raise your right hand. That's unanimous. Thank you. All right, we're going to move forward with our first hearing, but let's go ahead and bring folks in before I announce that, please.
Okay, Chair, this was everyone who was in our waiting room.
Very good. All right. As we get started, the first thing we need to do is check audio. So as I call your name, please, all of you, if this time you'll unmute, it'll make things go a little quicker for us. Mr. Trey Herman? I'm not hearing you, sir. Still not hearing you. I'm going to move to someone else and we'll get back to you while you're working on that. Mr. Barnett?
Here.
All right. Donald Linden?
Here.
All right. I've got one that's not labeled. I don't know who this is. We've got Dina Scott.
Good morning. Can you hear us?
Yes. And who do you have with you?
I have Glenda Johnson, HR, and Beth Martinez,
Deputy Superintendent, Chief of Staff.
Getting quite a bit of feedback from you folks. So if you've got more than one computer open and all, that might be the problem. So Rachel Cortez?
Yes, sir. I'm here.
Okay. And you're the principal, correct?
Yes, sir. That's correct.
Thank you. And Leonard Brogan?
Yes, I'm here.
And you are?
I'm the principal of Ridge Point High School and the chair of the 26A DEC.
All right. Very good. And then we'll go back now to Coach Herman.
I'm here.
All right. Good. We can hear you now. Thank you for that. Okay. At this point, we're going to get y'all sworn in. Caroline's going to do that. Go ahead, Caroline.
If everybody will unmute. And then raise your right hand. Do you solemnly swear or affirm that the testimony you will present is the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth?
I do.
I do.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you. And I'm going to go back and make sure that's Mr. Cameron Harvey was the one that I missed earlier. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
All right. Thank you, Coach Harvey. Appreciate it. All right. Now that you're sworn in, I'm going to go ahead and we're looking at hearing AA, which is our single hearing of the day, consideration of penalties for violations of Section 51A1, school district personnel violations, and Section 52A school violations for the following: William Herman, Matthew Barnett, Cameron Harvey, Donald Linden, and Fort Bend Austin High School. Let's talk a little bit about our process today. It's pretty straightforward. We're going to begin with going to confirm some of the information that we have. We have a lot of information. We very much appreciate that. And there is not a great deal of need to be redundant as your term time comes. Things that have already been established, if you need to comment on those, fine, but we don't need to just continually repeat things. But we're going to try to get a lot of things established in our first line of questioning. And all of you are going to be available for questions at that time. Once we're finished and get those confirmed, then we're going to start with the athletic director and the principal and talk there. And then we'll go to each of the coaches. We'll talk to our district executive committee chair. And then once that's all done, we'll come back and make some determinations. Any questions on the process? Okay, thank you. I'm going to begin, you know, when I first looked at this, and I'm sure, you know, we all had an opportunity to look at the, or listen to, watch and listen to the, oh no, listen to the audio of the hearing. And there was a lot there and a lot of information provided. When I first started looking at it, I thought, man, this thing's very convoluted, but really it's not. It's pretty simple and it's pretty straightforward. And so we're going to verify some information. The student that we're talking about, I want to make sure that we all understand a couple of things and clarify this, was never enrolled at Austin High School. Is that correct? The appropriate person needs to answer, and I think in this case it would be the principal.
Yes, sir.
Okay.
That is correct.
And that youngster had been in a feeder school to Austin High School. Is that correct as well?
That is correct.
All right. Just for confirmation, is that youngster homeschooled?
Yes, sir, he is.
Okay. And homeschoolers are not approved at Fort Bend ISD to participate in extracurricular activities. That's also correct.
That is correct.
All right. Now, this youngster came to summer conditioning, was, I think, on a roster to start the year. And the explanation that was given was that anyone who was from a feeder school was initially going to be on a roster. Any comment there?
That is correct, sir. All students that are in our feeder pattern are automatically enrolled in their next school if it's a transition period. So he was on our list to be attending Austin High School at the first 3 days of school.
Okay, thank you. Now, we'll go to the AD here with some of these questions. This youngster played in 4 ninth grade football games and then just quit showing up, and 12 ninth grade basketball games, correct?
That is correct.
All right. Now, football period was before school?
I believe so, yes. That's what they practice because of the heat policy, but Coach Herman can confirm that.
Coach Herman, is that correct?
That's correct.
Okay. Basketball practice, they had an athletic period, is that right? In like fourth period?
Yes, sir. Fourth period.
Okay. Thank you. I'm going to go to the back to the AED. Is there a standard process throughout Fort Bend ISD on, and especially in your athletic program, on how to take attendance and deal with eligibility issues such as that?
I can start with that, Ms. Cortez, and then you can follow up if that's okay. Yes, sir. We do have a standard district policy on eligibility in the documents that I presented. There are several.
We're still getting a lot of feedback from your computer. I don't know. It's more about the sound. If somebody has something on, more than one computer on, that's got the sound up, that's on this Zoom call.
So what I'll do, sir, is I'll let Ms. Cortez start and I'll log in on my computer so that we can get rid of that feedback, and I'll use sound on my computer.
Go ahead, Ms. Cortez.
Yes, sir. The district does have a policy. The campus also has a procedures that every student must be taking, or every teacher must take attendance every period within the first 10 minutes of the class period. The only deviation to that is third period, which is our state attendance period, which they take it at 10 o'clock. It is listed in our staff handbook. It is gone over at the beginning of the year. And as a matter of fact, my daily announcements when I'm on campus also indicate teachers take attendance every day in each period. So it is documented in a staff handbook.
But how they take attendance, is that part of the process?
Yes, sir. The teachers are to take attendance using our learning management or our information system, which is Skyward. So they are to take attendance on the computer. The only deviation to that would be if we have a substitute, they're giving paper attendance rosters.
Okay. All right. Let's see. Have we got our AD line back out here? There you are.
My apologies for that. Is this better?
Oh, much better. Yes, ma'am.
Okay. Thank you so much. So, yes, as a district, we do have a policy about taking grading and attendance and making sure that all students are eligible and a part of the full-time student protocol. And those are listed in some of the documents that, like I said, I presented earlier with the head coach's checklist, the UIL TEA eligibility calendar that we go over not only as head coaches with the head football coaches, but also co-coordinators. We talk about the all coaches meeting that we have at the beginning of the year that the UIL provides updates for us to show. And so there were some PowerPoints that we talked about as far as eligibility. And we did also talk about homeschool and give an update that we are still a district that's not allowing homeschoolers to participate in our extracurricular activities. And on various occasions, we talk about this as our campus coordinators are going to take that back to the campuses and share that with the head coaches and the assistant coaches on their campus, as we have over 500 coaches here in Fort Bend ISD.
On eligibility aspect of things, it's our understanding that in this case, and I don't know whether eligibility is the big issue as far as grades, but that your coaches may have been only looking at the students that were on the failing list. Is that accurate?
That is what was shared with us in both meetings that we had with them in the investigation process. And okay. If you look at our TEA eligibility calendar that we provide, it does say evaluate all students. And then we also make sure we remind coaches that we are checking for those that are passing as well as failing.
All right, I'm going to change course a little bit here. And Coach Herman, this young man quit showing up, and I know maybe Coach Harvey or one of the other coaches that was involved may be the right people to talk to here. But after 4 weeks, this young man quit showing up. What happened? Why did we not catch that?
We did a locker check. It may not have been at the exact 4 weeks. It may have been a little bit further down the line than that. But I was going through the different lockers with the freshman staff and kind of trying to make sure that we had everything accounted for equipment wise. And we got to his locker, and that at that point is when it was said that he had not been showing up for a couple weeks. So I removed his equipment at that point. We did not follow up as we should have. We had assumed he had quit and was no longer with us, but we should have followed up.
So did you discover before the February 12th, when all this kind of broke loose with him, did you know that the young man was not a student?
No, sir.
Okay. So your first knowledge was after that February 12th then?
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, Coach Harvey, you, if I'm not mistaken, and please correct me if needed, you're the one that walked this young man over to basketball.
No, I told in the meeting, I don't recall the student being in the basketball, I mean, in the football class at the time of the basketball tryout. The students that I walked over to the basketball tryout, Coach Linden sent me a list of those students who made the team from the football period. At that time, I would send progress report updates at the eligibility checkpoints to him, and that student was never on the list of students from the football class.
So nobody walked him over to Coach Linden.
So there were two general tryouts. There were one for general students, and then there was a separate tryout for football athletes after the season ended. I do not recall that student being in that group of kids that were walked over.
Okay. Coach Linden, where are you? There
I'm
you
right
are.
here. Yes, sir.
What's your statement on that?
For me, he was walked over in November 3rd. Him and those athletes that made the team. What I have noted here is that after they went through the tryouts with once Coach Harvey brought them over to the gym, later that day I invited them to come to after school practice where I again added them Sports U rank one and told them about our mandatory parents meeting. And the way I'm able to know, just like Coach Harvey said, we had two freshman football tryouts. One was for the athletes that were eligible, and then athletes, we had a one later that was for athletes that were academically eligible. Our parent meeting was the night of November 9th, which was before that second freshman football trial. And Omar and his dad was there, and we have signatures and everything that they were there.
You said football tryout, are we talking football or basketball?
Oh, sorry, our basketball trial for football athletes that were playing football.
Thank
Yes,
you.
sir.
All right. Now, you were one of the teachers of record, is that correct?
For basketball?
For football.
No, sir, I'm just basketball.
Okay. All right. Coach Harvey, that was you. You're one of the teachers of record.
Yes, sir. I was one of the teachers of record for the football period.
Okay, there was one other teacher.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, let's talk, go back to our athletic director. Once this was discovered on February the 12th and the meeting was held, and again, we have all that information before us, there were some consequences doled out. If I remember correctly, 2-game suspension for let's see, I think for Coach there it is, 2-game suspension for Coach Linden in basketball, and 2 games for was it Coach Barnett?
That is correct.
All right. And were there no consequences handed out for Coach Herman and Coach Harvey?
Well, at that time, we were it was shared with us that there was some resignations going on, and so we did the self-report after that initial information was shared with us, and then we had to do an updated self-report after that changed.
All right. Coach Herman, what is your status with the district right now?
I'm currently employed.
Okay. And you do not have an active resignation on file?
No, sir.
Okay. And Coach Harvey?
Resigned at the end of the school year.
Okay. Effective the end of this coming school year?
Yes, sir.
Okay. All right. Coach Linden? You are,
Still active. Yes, sir. Still
you're
employed.
still active and you're facing that 2-game suspension from your district
Yes, sir.
in basketball.
Yes, sir.
And Coach Barnett.
Yes, sir. I'm still with the district and as laid out in my signed plan.
And 2 games suspension.
Yes, as laid out in the signed plan.
Yes, sir. All right, thank you. Okay. Let me see if I've got anything else here before we move forward with other questions. Just a comment. process wise, there were some gaps. Ms. Scott, by your coaches without any doubt. And I think the next thing that I would ask that we discuss a little bit would be the letter that we received also that indicated that there were other issues with Coach Herman during the course of the school year. Ms. Scott, you know what I'm talking about? The one that came from a co-coordinator, I believe?
Yes.
And there were some issues, and we'll let Coach Herman respond to them here shortly, but trainers that were not quite, had not done all their, excuse me, trainers indicated that there were some coaches that had not done all their CPR training and who were out on the field and should not have been at the time. Is that a correct statement?
That is correct.
Go ahead, Coach Herman.
Yeah, any time that any issue was brought to my attention of any coach that was lacking in certifications, we took care of it immediately.
And the apprentice issue where maybe they were the apprentice folks were doing a little more than what they were supposed to, and their response was, hey, I'm doing what I'm told. Coach, you got anything to say to that?
We never had an apprentice that was working in a coaching capacity until they were fully had their SBEC.
Okay.
We were allowed to use them in the athletic period. That's when they were allowed to participate.
Right. And the homecoming, the ineligible player that it indicates that you had said to one of the coaches that you had taken care of the ineligibility. You want to comment on that?
Sir, I never had any dealings with the ineligible athlete. We were told that he was clear, but that was incorrect. It was caught prior to the game, and he was removed.
And what about the changing of grades? Anything there?
I've never been involved in any conversation with changing anybody's grades, ever.
Okay.
If I can comment, sir, on the changing of the grade.
Who are you?
This is Rachel, the principal.
Yes, ma'am.
There was an investigation by our HR department in regards to an allegation of a changing of a grade. There was no, that came out as being inconclusive. There was no indication that that was completed. There was a teacher and one of my assistant principals that were investigated in that situation, and no, there was no substantiation done or found on that incident.
Okay. All right. Thank you for that.
Yes, sir.
All right. Before we get started letting these folks have their brief presentations, do I have any more questions from committee members? Yes, Mr. Colbert.
Thank you, Chair. To Ms. Scott, I've got a couple questions.
Yes, sir.
So help me here. Coach Harvey he resigned, so y'all didn't follow through with consequences, correct?
Correct.
Okay. Coach Linden was suspended for 2 games?
Correct.
Coach Barrett was suspended for 2 games?
Correct.
And what was the consequence for Coach Herman?
Okay, so I'm sorry, I'm getting advice from my HR director. There is a memo for Coach Herman to be on a probationary contract for the next year. And the other two received memos as well.
So Coach Hart, Coach Linden got a move to a probationary contract.
No, Coach Herman.
Coach Herman, but you said for the other two as well.
They received memos.
Okay, so it's a memo, you know, I call them reprimands or directives. I mean, are you referring to your memo as that? I'm looking for disciplinary action, not documentation.
Yes. And so, in addition to the two games, it is, some professional development on the NFHS website to, refresher course on sports and coaching procedures. Once we heard more about the case, we went to the DEC to get a hearing and to get more information or and to provide them an
I
opportunity.
understand all that. I'm good on that. Thank you. I'm inching towards my real question is, so Coach Herman got a memo.
Yes.
And did you consider that memo disciplinary action?
Yes.
Okay. And so was that memo a directive or a reprimand? Or it was it documenting the fact that the situation happened? How would you categorize the memo?
Well, it documented, and then it also had some, expectations for moving forward.
Is it central offices or your expectation that the head coach, who often serves as like the campus athletic director or almost coordinator, is Coach Herman ultimately responsible for compliance with district policy on that campus?
In the department, as in the athletic department, yes. That's how we structure.
I just find it strange that the other coaches suffered consequences being suspended from games and got memos, and Coach Herman just got a memo. What was your thinking behind that? Did you feel like he was less at fault, even though he was expected to hold everyone accountable on that campus? Take your time.
Okay. We hold our campus coordinators to a high standard, and again, we wanted to make sure that we were following the processes and the procedures from the UIL, and so we went to the DEC hearing to have them hear the case because of the egregiousness of the lack of supervision and oversight in the program. And he went to a probationary status.
Okay, thank you. Coach Herman.
Yes, sir.
And Chair, I don't know if this is the appropriate time to
Go
ask
ahead. Go ahead.
Do you feel like that your role is to be to ensure that all of your coaches have compliance with campus policy and district policy?
Yes, sir.
Do you feel like that standard was met here?
I do not. I feel like there were some gaps in our procedures, and as soon as the issue was discovered, we went to fill in those gaps to ensure that we were doing a better job within compliance.
Well, the term gap has been used a couple
Yes,
times, and I know the
sir.
chair has used that too. I'm going to say, there were way more than gaps here. This is, the our chair likes to use a word called egregious. So hold on, let me get back on task. So you think that there were some gaps. Do you think that you bear responsibility for any of those gaps?
Yes, sir.
Okay, how so?
Yeah, it's my responsibility to make sure that my coaches are following through with the procedures set forth by our district and by our school. Needed to do a better job of overseeing that those things were being done on a daily basis, and that during checkpoints that we have multiple sets of eyes on things to ensure that compliance. Paper trail obviously is the king on those types of things.
Well, and so I agree with that. That's well said. My question to you is, do you feel like that you were following up and ensuring that all of your coaches are meeting those expectations? Because it sounds like y'all finding this out was an accident. There was no purposeful intent. There was no systems in place to catch this. It was an accident. It fell in your lap and you found it out. Would
I
you
agree.
describe it
Sorry.
similar to that?
I would agree. I think that one of the issues was I was relying too much on word of mouth as opposed to physical evidence of those procedures being done. And I think that's probably the biggest oversight portion that could be improved.
Well, so, and I will say, and I'll probably have more remarks later, y'all have provided us a plethora of information, so much so I had to get a different notebook because I've got your handbook. I listened to the entire audio. I've reviewed all your policies. And to be honest with you, you have a tremendous number of systems and policies in place, but I think it hurts you in this case because I think it demonstrates even further your inability to follow them. You know, a lot of times we deal with districts that got no systems in place. So then you can understand why they have the problems. You have systems in place and expectations for everything you're supposed to do. You have meetings, it's all spelled out, but yet no one was following them at all. Would you agree with that?
I think that some of the things were followed. I think that, like we mentioned before, there were several gaps that could have been stopped in several cases, as you mentioned, without the accidental discovery.
Chair, that's all I have for now.
Lakoa? You're muted.
For the athletic director, was Coach Herman's contract changed from what it you've mentioned returning to a different type of contract? Could you elaborate on that?
I'm going to let the HR person.
Good morning. Yes, for the next school year, he would have returned or moved to a term contract. And so one of the consequences was that he remain on a probationary contract for the next school year.
Okay. So I interpret that as a form of discipline. You could get a letter of reprimand with no actions, but that you altered his contract. So there was contractual action by the district related to Mr. Herman's staying on the probationary contract instead of term contract.
Correct.
Is that correct?
That is correct.
I have another question going back to the principal or Coach Herman or the athletic director. How many students are involved in the football program? Just, you know, in August, September, getting school started, just for an example.
120.
Thank you, Coach.
Yes, sir.
Had during this process again, and like Dr. Colbert said, there's a lot of information here, which is good and we appreciate. But did any students or did anyone ever indicate that they'd seen the young man on campus or had never seen a young man on campus except for an athletic period?
No, sir.
You know, I've been involved in situations where you had over 8 kids that were 20 years old, 22 years old, decided they won't go back to high school, but they usually went to class. So this is a little bit unusual in that circumstance that, you know, which reminds me a little bit of my college career. Going to class was not really as important as going to athletic period, but you do have a number of systems that are in place. And I know with the large amount of kids, things happening before school, but missing the key element here about a youngster being actually on campus, going to classes, there are rules for that, the procedures for that. And I know the principal was somewhat chagrined by the whole process as well. But I do think that it's complicated when you have a lot of kids in programs and on the campus, but I agree that there are a whole lot of procedures in place that should have caught this.
Mr. Colbert.
I just have one follow-up question. Coach, do you have any other students in this situation that you found?
Talk to me?
Yes, sir.
No, sir, we did not.
How can you be so sure?
As soon as it was brought to our attention, we went back through and triple checked everything. We started a process in which we would print out attendance summaries at the end of each week to keep on file, highlight through, make sure that they matched our rank one rosters as well as our attendance rosters. And like I said, just doubled up on everything.
So you kind of went back to the procedures that had been laid out.
Well, and then took some steps beyond that, because obviously, you know, we made mistakes. We need to be better.
Thank you, Chair.
Dr. Cole?
For the principal, Ms. Cortez, do you have someone that's in charge of attendance for the campus, or is it a campus administrator that's charged of alphabetically or grade level to cover attendance issues?
Yes, sir. We have three attendance clerks who monitor attendance taking every day. And I have one assistant principal who is over the attendance process to identify students that are excessively absent and then bring it to our administrative team's information.
And they have the no-show list of students on rosters that have been sent over from your feeder schools. And how long does that process take to identify no-shows?
Yes, sir. The no-shows in this case for this past school year, we were in school for 3 days, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. We did not no-show at that time. Our district no-showed on Monday, the 14th. At that time, the indication or identification of no-shows is done by our registrar and our assistant registrar. Their process is to go in and remove those students from active status, moving them to inactive status, which at that point then would remove them from any teachers' rosters.
And those actions took place with this student at the appropriate time. He no-showed, and whoever had the class rosters were notified that he was no-showed.
The no-shows were taken, were completed on the 14th.
Right.
At that time, we are a large campus. We don't individually send out notices that kids are no-showed. The teachers would be, they would be notified of that, because when they opened their rosters to take attendance, the student was no longer on their roster.
For this individual, who was the teacher of record that received that notice?
That would have been for the freshman football team. Coach Harvey was in charge of attendance and grades.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Yes, sir.
Yes, Mr. Zepeda.
Yes, I have to have a quick question for Coach Herman and maybe Ms. Cortez as well. You know, she just kind of spoke into what I was going to ask. If the no-shows were dropped off of the class roster on the 14th, if he played in four football games, the first football game that he would have played would have been the next week, the week of the 21st. And so we would have had a time period of 5 weeks that he's participating in contests where he's not actively on anybody's roll. Am I wrong about that? I guess, Ms. Cortez, that question is first for you. And then the follow-up, Coach Herman, is how could there have been a kid not on anyone's roll participating in contests 5 weeks after he was dropped off of the rolls?
That is correct, Mr. Cepeda. And the 14th, he was dropped off the attendance rolls for any class that he was previously enrolled in at that time, which is why it's so important to take attendance every period, because the teacher would have seen that he is not on the teacher roll. And other teachers in these incidents have reached out to either an administrator or a counselor to say, hey, what happened to this kid?
Coach Herman?
Yep. And as far as your follow-up, I think there was an over-reliance on simply looking at rank one as in being green in rank one, as opposed to making sure that they were on the attendance roster. You know, I think the absences were taken in lieu, you know, this person is absent as opposed to this person is present. And again, that was one of the procedural fixes that we noted moving forward.
Okay, follow-up question here is, we started school on the 9th, and I know it's pretty typical practice that progress reports go out usually in 3-week intervals. I don't know what your practice is in Fort Bend ISD. Ms. Cortez, do you have progress reports? What are the regular intervals that progress reports and academic performance is reported for students?
Yes, sir. We have two progress reports at the 3-week mark and then our final term grade. So there's progress report at the 3rd week, a progress report at the 6th week, and then a term grade at the 9th week.
So, Coach Herman, who was checking those progress report grades to check academic progress? Because the 3rd week progress report would have occurred the 1st week of games. And I'm surprised that nobody caught when they were checking grades and academic progress for all of your football players that this student who's on a roster for football was not found to have any grades whatsoever?
Yeah, so we split responsibility as far as who was checking grades. We had a fifth period person and a first period person. And then as far as the fifth period, obviously because it was a varsity kids, we took an extra step printing the grades out and then getting double verification on that one. They were simply filtering grades with the first period ones as far as who's on the failure list and so forth. And I guess because his name's on the activity roster, but obviously no longer enrolled in classes, that automatically spits out blanks. And so he was missed. Again, that was another procedural fix that we noted to carry that same procedure over from fifth period to first period to where the grades were printed out, hard copy, highlighted, and then verified by two sets of eyes.
Well, towards that end, he should have received a grade for athletics, right? I mean, the Correct. Teacher record should have been assigning a grade at that three-week interval. Did the coach just miss that yes. the kid that's on the roster is not receiving a grade? He's not assigning a grade?
Yes, he missed it.
Well, extend all of these questions, even in even more concerning to basketball, the fact that we had all of these, formal nine-week sessions and everything, et cetera, and that nobody caught this it's just kind of hard for me to imagine towards Dr. Colbert's point.
Can I say something?
Yes, Coach Harvey, go ahead now.
Yes, during the football season, I had a conversation with Coach Herman detailing that due to my position, I've never entered grades before, and we needed some assistance with entering those grades. At that time, he told me that the other teacher of record in the class would handle those and not to worry about it. From there was never another conversation about needing me to put in the grades. I was under the impression that the other teacher of record in the period was entering the grades as well as the attendance for that class. Football wise, the attendance we took was in the morning, and then we were practiced all the way through the end of the first period class. So from that time period, there was never a time where we kind of stopped and took attendance or anything like that. At the end of practice, the kids would go inside. They would have about 5 to 10 minutes to go to their next class, and they would rush to get dressed, and they were on to their next class.
Not following process then. Y'all had procedures in place, correct? And you weren't following them. That's what you're saying?
Yes, sir. Well, I mean, just yes.
Okay. Thank you.
And if it's okay, can I respond to this follow about basketball? So the student, our freshman football players that ended up making the basketball team, they weren't able to transition into our athletic period. Our freshman athletic period was a fourth period. So what happened with that, with Coach Harvey being a football coach and basketball coach, I relied on Coach Harvey since he had the Skyward grades to inform me of any students that weren't passing at the time. So, yeah, I just want to kind of clear that up. So when, again, at the progress reports, what Coach Harvey would do, those individuals, he would send me email or screenshots of those students' grades. And then we did that for every progress report since they weren't on my system. So the student was never actually in our basketball class.
Yeah, but he was on your roster, right, Coach? And if we followed the procedure that you just described, there would have been a discrepancy between someone being on your roster and not having that screenshot of one's grades, correct?
Yes, sir. Yeah, that's what I meant. He, again, in that process, it wasn't the right process to where he was only sending me those grades that were for the kids that were failing, that would have been ineligible for that grading cycle.
I would say just, and this is more of a comment, when I was first made aware of this by Ms. Scott, it is hard for me to imagine with such lack of institutional control and systems actually being followed, that there are not additional students that would not be at risk, of being eligible. And so I know that you guys had said that you did your due diligence. I certainly hope that that's true, but we have a total lack of being able to follow procedures and processes for, checking on basic UIL eligibility standards. And that's very concerning, I think, for me as the athletic director of the UIL.
Thank you. We're going to any other questions just along that line. I think we're going to make a quick move to a couple of other things and then let everyone else speak that needs to. And then we're going to get to it. But I'm going to go back to Ms. Scott And oh, I'm sorry. Did someone raise your hand? Okay. I'm gonna go back to athletic director. You know, the accusations that came from the co-coordinator, your final analysis on those, please.
Yes, as Ms. Cortez said, that she heard from the HR, those were sent to HR and investigated. I did follow up with HR, and I had not gotten the update like Ms. Cortez had gotten, so I was not aware that the investigation had been completed. So to me, just hearing what she said about those two that were unfounded, that's the first I'm hearing of that.
Okay.
If I can just clarify, the investigation that the HR department handled was the investigation into alleged changing of grades or asking for grades to be changed. The other items were not investigated by the HR department.
Okay. Mr. Beasley, do you have a question?
Yeah, maybe off subject. It's just something that I read all the material, and I've been coaching for a long time. I've been out of it, but there's just one question I want to ask. Is you did the gentleman or the kid miss play the first four games or four games out of the 10 game season?
The first four games.
Now, me being a coach, the kid shows up after on the 10th week to go to basketball. Did anybody ask, where have you been? That's a question that just popped out to me because I used to coach. I'm like, the kid hadn't shown up for 6 weeks or a week or a day. I'm asking him. So I just want to ask that question.
I did not see him on the day that he showed up. Sorry. I did not see him on the day he showed up. I had not seen him since that fourth week.
But did you know he was playing basketball?
I did not. No, sir.
What about your assistant coaches? Did anybody say anything when he got back? Because somebody walked him over to the basketball.
Yes, sir. No, nobody said anything to me about him.
Coach Lennon, you had something to say?
Yes, sir. Yeah, as far as answering Mr. Beasley's question, I was unaware that he quit football. Just like you said, we did. Coach Harvey was a football coach and basketball coach, and he played on Coach Harvey's team. So, like you said, I would think if he was quitting or didn't show up, like you said, somebody would have made me aware of it. Like me and Coach Herman actually had a really good policy. We wanted to make sure that kids who quit football wouldn't just jump to basketball. So, like I said, if there was a student, there was an individual that did that we did have to hold off on because he did not complete the football season. So as far as Omar and my situation, the entire time until February 12th, I thought he was a first period football kid in athletics with a regular class schedule.
Coach, if that's the case that you had this policy in place and Coach Herman said earlier that they thought that he quit football, explain the discrepancy between those two statements.
As far as myself answer?
Well, yeah, because you said that you had a policy and agreement in place with kids that quit football, and Coach Herman had just said a second ago that the entire staff thought that he quit. Explain the discrepancy between his automatic participation then in 12 contests.
Yes, sir. So again, I had no idea that he quit football. Like I didn't find out that he quit football until as this investigation went on. Like in my eyes, he finished the football season. Coach Harvey never made me aware that he quit football or anything like that.
Okay. All right. Good questions. Thank you for those, Mr. Beasley, Mr. Zepeda. District Chair, first of all, let me say good job of running the meeting, okay? It was a difficult meeting, I know, in some respects, but I thought your process was very good, and you handled yourself well. Obviously, it ended up in a tie, 4-4 vote that automatically it came to us, but kudos for the way you dealt with it. Now, give us your analysis very quickly, what you've heard today, what happened, anything new to you here, any comments that you want to make?
Thank you. Yes, it was very difficult. We haven't been through this situation before. I did, go back and listen to the recording, and I made some mistakes, things I can definitely do better next time. Hopefully there won't be a next time. But I really don't have anything more to add. I'm just speaking for myself as, the chair and as, principal at Ridgepoint. But I mean, the same questions that you all asked are some of the questions that we had as committee. And, I didn't, Coach Scott and I had some conversations beforehand as to, how it would work out and such. And we did talk about, the possibility of a tie, but, didn't really, I never followed through, and that's on me as to what the next step was if it did end up in a tie. But I don't have anything else to add. I think, the committee members for the state have asked the same kind of things that we asked as a district committee.
All right. I'm going to ask each of the coaches very, very succinctly to give final statements, and then we're going to discuss some consequences here if needed. Mr. Coach Herman?
Yes, after the discovery on February the 12th, we put a couple procedural fixes in place. One being that the Skyward rosters would be divided amongst the coaching staff on the football side of things. And instead of kids being counted absent, they would move from one location to another to be counted present, counting them present for the day and then also on the roster. Head count and absences will be recorded and reported to the head coach, and any discrepancies between the Skyward roster and those in attendance should be reported immediately. A hard copy of the attendance summary was to be kept on file each week. Athletes showing excessive absences will be flagged and their parents be contacted to ensure they are aware of their absences from the required activity. Athletic checks will require all grades from each student to be printed at each check. A roster from each team should be highlighted showing each athlete's grades have been checked and verified, and then the grades and rosters be checked and signed by both the assigned coach and the head coach for each roster. Athletic periods will be aligned, which we've moved to this next year, to allow athletes to be transferred from one sport to another more easily in Skyward, which will allow more oversight from the coaches. I think, we're doubling down on all of our procedures and making sure that we clean up everything that we need to clean up so that we are doing a better service for our student athletes and for our district as well. That's all.
Any final comments on your role in this, your responsibility?
I think as a campus co-athletic coordinator, it's my responsibility to make sure that all of these procedures are followed. I take the job extremely serious, embarrassed by the outcome, and I'm extremely dedicated to fixing it in the future.
Thank you. We're going to move then to Coach Harvey. Final words.
Yeah. Yes, I would just want to say I was really under the impression of just following what I was told from the head football coach in the morning. We took attendance based on students that were there. There was never an athletic roster provided to me that was different from the roster in Skyward. I communicated with Coach Herman the difficulties with putting in the grades, and he informed me that the other teacher of record would handle that for that class period. As far as the basketball, I do not recall that student being a part of that football group that walked over. I've sent eligibility to Coach Linden every 3 weeks or every reporting period of the football students that were active in basketball, both on the freshman B and freshman A roster. And that was student was never on that list of grades that was sent over. In hindsight, I feel as though I maybe should have talked more so with Coach Herman or the other co-athletic coordinator to kind of get those procedures, understand it and more in place. And then if not able to help as far as grades, maybe go talk to Ms. Cortez. Or somebody else to be able to provide me some, I guess, understanding of how that process works.
Thank you. Who's next? Coach Linden?
Yes, sir. Yes, the biggest thing going forward, Coach Herman kind of spoke on this before, is making sure that our athletic classes are aligned. I know for myself, especially after something like this, I feel like we kind of had practices in play in order to make sure something that this never happened as far as our students in a basketball class. But now next year, having our schedules aligned, making sure when the football kids are on the basketball team, they're actually in my class. So then there's nothing I don't have to worry about anybody checking grades, because that's all on my responsibility, because I'll have access to those students. So that's the biggest thing moving forward for myself.
Thank you. Coach Barnett.
I had no knowledge that the student was not enrolled due to the fact that I did not have Skyward access, and I was basing all my decisions off of reports that were given and printed to me.
All right. Thank you. Ms. Scott, final words? You need to unmute, please.
Yes. Can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I just want to thank the committee today for listening to our investigation. And I hope that we've provided all the information for you all. I know as the athletic director of Fort Bend ISD, I take this job and responsibility very seriously as a former student here in Fort Bend ISD. And the procedures and policies that we put forth as a district and as a department, we will continue to look at those and make adjustments when things like this arise and other things, so that we can make our district better moving forward and our department better. And we will get through this and we will move forward, and continue to be a great athletic program and in the state of Texas.
Thank you. Ms. Cortez.
Yes, sir. I'd just like to thank everybody for their time today. It has been quite a journey since we found out as the administrative team on February the 12th. And we also have put in some checks and balances in place as well administratively. When Coach Herman has his meeting at the beginning of the year and periodically throughout the school year, there will also be an administrator in those meetings to verify that information is being shared and the importance of our policies and procedures for the district and for the campus are being followed. And any situation, I have had extensive conversations with Coach Herman in regards to how things need to be, how to proceed moving forward. And we have a good plan in place to have some oversight by administration as well.
Thank you. All right. Anyone else needs to say anything? Okay. Committee members, Mr. Zepeda or Mr. Beasley, y'all have anything to add?
No, sir.
Okay. Very good. Dr. Colwell, Mr. Colbert, it's time for us to make some decisions on consequences. And we're talking first about personnel violations, and then we'll move to talk about the Austin High School. Let's take a look and make sure we fully understand who's received what, because I think that's very important. Coach Barnett and Coach Linden each have received a 2-game suspension, and that came from the district. And I think it's just a 2-game suspension in one sport for you, Coach Barnett. Is that right?
According to the statement, it's basketball.
And basketball. Okay. Is that what you coach? Is that all you coach?
No, sir, but that was what the written statement said.
Okay. Are you a football coach as well?
I am football and baseball only.
Oh, football and baseball only. And you're saying that what it said here was you're going to get a suspension in basketball?
Yes, sir. Based on the written statement that was provided by the district.
Which is no suspension at all, correct?
Yes, sir. That is why I agreed to it.
All righty. And then we have Coach Coach Harvey. Let's see, Coach, what did you receive?
I was just given the option to finish out the year and then go elsewhere, resign at the end, and then that was the those are my only two options, or have my or have the situation brought to the board and a decision made there.
Okay. And then we have Coach Herman, who we've heard today that there is a document now, I guess, in his file. Don't really know what to call that, but written up about this situation and a change in the status of his contract from back to a probationary contract. Would have gone to a regular term contract this year. Is that correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. And let's see. Who else? Who am I missing here? Coach, who have I not discussed?
Those are all the coaches involved, sir.
Okay, thank you. Just making sure. Our responsibility is to make some determinations. Let me just make a couple of statements here. I appreciate the fact that Coach Herman accepts responsibility for what has transpired, at least to a degree. But I will say this. I'm going to use the word that Mr. Colbert said I use regularly. I don't pay much attention to that, but it's an egregious event that it's hard for me to recognize that this could have taken place. You can call it a perfect storm if you want to. You can call it a lot of different things, but you can call it a comedy of errors if you want to call it that. But there was a problem here. Does this school district have good policies in place? Yeah, they really do. Were they followed? No, they were not. And Coach, you are the person who is responsible for ensuring that grades are checked in the appropriate manner and that everything is done correctly, because you don't want to end up in a situation that hurts your kids, hurts your program, whatever it may be. So for me, it's a serious deal. And I will say this, we have some precedents with situations similar to this, where the person who is in charge is the one that receives the bulk of the consequences and should. And so for me, as I look at Coach Herman, there's got to be, without a doubt, a public reprimand. That's my opinion. There also needs to be some suspension for him. You know, we've already suspended a couple of guys that internally they just suspended them for two games. Our precedent here in situations just nearly exactly like this has been half the season, five games suspension, those kinds of things. And for me, that's the territory that we're walking in right here today in this circumstance. Yes, Mr. Colbert.
Thank you, Chair. I would agree along those lines too. I think that there has been some discipline delved out to the coaches, really all of them. The fact that Coach Herman got his contract extended into another probationary year. I've done this many times as a superintendent. But I will say that it starts at the top, and some of the things we heard from the other coaches were verbatim what we heard from Coach Herman, that everybody was relying on something that they heard or just assuming. And so I think this culture of not executing and following policy has been pervasive, not only on this campus, but to be fair to Coach Scott, it could be the district. I mean, this is hugely embarrassing. I mean, there's so many different levels where this skipped through. And I actually feel for the coaches, because I know how embarrassing this is to find out that you've been playing a kid that's not even enrolled in your school. And so I definitely think we should have some suspension of games. I'm open to a half a season. And then certainly we need to do a public reprimand. and even probation.
Not
only for the campus, you know, I'm sure we're going to get to the district in a minute, but we may even want to consider that.
Okay. And so that, for me, Coach Herman, if I was going to make a motion on this situation, it would be a 5-game suspension and a public reprimand and a 3-year probation. That's what
I'll second that.
And we'll just take these individually. I think, Coach, you're first on the list. So I made that in form of motion. Did I hear a second?
Second.
Okay. Mr. Colbert, all in favor, raise your right hand. All right. Coach Harvey. Let's see. You're not coming back, are you?
No, sir.
Okay. That does not mean that if you go somewhere else, you don't need to have some consequences that go along with this. And for me, there is a public reprimand needed, a suspension of 2 games, and a 2-year probation for Coach Harvey. Moving forward, wherever he goes, that follows you, Coach. You get it?
Yes, sir.
What we make the determination to do.
Yes, sir.
Any comment from any of the others?
So with the other coaches, you know, we have some issues of gross negligence is what I would categorize. You know, there wasn't malintent. I think it was laziness and not following through his policy. And so I think we need to consider that in the continuum of discipline with respect to this. You know, we've dealt with many situations, Chair, where, you know, we've had to sort through whether there was intent behind it or not. And I think we're clear here that there's probably wasn't any intent on this. This was just negligence. And so I'd like to make decisions separate and apart from what the district did. The district can do their local thing. We should do our state thing.
Sure. That's what this is, without a doubt.
Roger that. And so I guess we need to really, the reprimand and probation is a no-brainer. The question would be, how many games should they be suspended? And certainly when we get to Coach Barnett, we need to suspend them from games that he actually coaches, not games of sports that he doesn't even coach in.
Correct.
So you're suggesting 2 games? Is that what you're suggesting there?
I am.
Okay. I'm receptive to that.
I'm accepting to that as well.
All right. Would one of y'all make that motion?
I would like to make a motion. Can we do it with all of them, or you want to do them one by one?
No, let's do them one by one, please.
Okay. For Coach Cameron Harvey, I'd like to make a motion that he receive a public reprimand, probation for 2 years, and suspended for 2 games.
Do I hear a second?
Second.
Have a second from Dr. Cole. All in favor, please raise your right hand. That's unanimous.
And I would specify that those 2 games should be 2 football games.
Yes. Yes. All right. Then let's go to Coach Barnett. I think we just need to get his straightened out a little bit, even though it's coming from us. He was given a reprimand or a suspension in a sport he doesn't coach.
Chair, I'd like to make a motion that we publicly reprimand Coach Barnett, suspend him for put him on probation for 2 years and suspend him from 2 football games next year.
He does not coach football.
I thought he did football and baseball.
Which one is it, Coach?
I coach football and baseball.
My apologies, Mr. Colbert.
I'm on point.
All right. I'd second that motion. All in favor, please raise your right hand. All right, it's unanimous. We got Coach Linden here, who is a basketball coach. And
Chair, I'd like to make a motion.
Please.
I'd like to make a motion that we publicly reprimand Donald Linden, put him on probation for 2 years and suspend him from 2 basketball games, varsity basketball games for the 2024-25 school.
First 2 games of the year. Correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Do I hear a second?
Second.
All right, all in favor, please raise your right hand. All right. Now we move, I think at this point, we move to the school district. We move to Austin High School. And without a doubt, there needs to be a public reprimand. I'm thinking 2 or 3 years, probably 3 years probation. And I think we need to discuss what set of probation. Is that the whole athletic program? Is it football? Yes, Dr. Caldwell.
No, I was just going to say the 3 years in the whole athletic program.
Yeah, part I of think that's it should be the entire program.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, if this kid had ran track, he would have been on the 4x1. They wouldn't have figured it out till districts. Yeah. So, I mean, it didn't matter the sport.
Yeah. And part of my thinking there, again, is this didn't happen in football. We're not just one sport.
Correct.
Another one. And
right.
So three years.
Okay. And I want to add something to that discussion. And I would like to add to that motion when it's made that we get a report back from Ms. Scott, the athletic director, to Mr. Beasley, send it to Mr. Beasley on steps that are going to be taken by the athletic program to ensure that such things do not take place again, not at just Austin, but at any of your high schools, recognizing that you have some very good policies in place. We've already made that statement, but there's gotta be some oversight. There's gotta be some kind of better communication to ensure that this doesn't happen again. So we will expect a report from you, and we're going to say that we would like that report by, let's just say August 1. All right. Yes, go ahead.
Mr. Chair, I'd just like to also say to Ms. Scott that you've got some tightening up to do. I mean, you've got processes and procedures, but you have at least one campus that you know of that failed to do any of those things. And so when we talk about it starts at the top, you're the athletic director for the whole district. I know this is incredibly embarrassing for you, so you have to determine how you're going to alter your processes next year to hold your campus coordinators accountable for making sure they implement all the things that you've worked so hard to put together. Because you should have zero tolerance for these petty things like this happening. So you really need to do something in ensuring that everybody's complying with the procedures of the district, because this is embarrassing for Fort Bend.
Okay. Have a motion. I'm making a motion for a public reprimand for Austin High School Athletics, a 3 year probation, and a report back to Mr. Beasley on new processes to ensure that such issues do not occur again. That's my motion.
I second that.
All right. Got a motion. And we got a second from Mr. Colbert. All in favor, please raise your right hand. It's unanimous. Okay. Serious stuff. Malin,
stop here. Check if the device is on your home Wi-Fi network.
I'm sorry. Serious issues. We have some people, I think, ready to remedy those. So I think what we would say from this committee is go forth, make sure these things don't happen again, be at your best at all times. Okay. All right. With that having been said, anything else needs to be said from committee members? All right. We are going to end this hearing at this time. Then we'll be removing y'all from the meeting. Thank you again for all your information.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, new business. I do want to make sure that we report that at our last hearing, and Jamie or Daryl, help me with this. I don't remember which one it was, what school district it was.
It was Katie.
Yeah, it was Katie that we tabled. And I know that there was information went out to you that that suspension has been lifted by Daryl. You want to comment on that very quickly, please?
Yes, by the state association. Well, it starts locally, the rescission, and it has to come from the local chapter. Local chapter sends it to the state office, and the state office reviews it to make sure that it's legitimate. And if they feel like it's legitimate.
Daryl, hold on. Let's catch everybody up. We had a coach's ejection that was appealed.
Yes.
And tabled. And that ejection has now been rescinded. Now keep going. You're explaining how that happens, but make sure everybody knows what we're talking about.
Thank you, Jamie. So it goes after it goes to the state office, and that's Mike Fitch and his crew. They'll look at it to see if it's legitimate. And once they all agree, Mike will contact me and we'll have a conversation. And what happened was in this case, they went back and rescinded the ejection, and I took that rescension and removed it from the coach from Katie.
And the reason I wanted that brought up today is it needs to be read into the minutes so that anybody who's was involved in that or was watching that knows what happened, that we just didn't let it slide. It's that one's over. Any announcements from staff members? Okay. Listen, man, it's late in the year for this to be happening, but glad to get this one done. Thank you, Dr. Colwell. Thank you, Mr. Colbert. And staff, as always, we appreciate y'all. I know y'all are right in the middle of a lot of things with state baseball going on, and you got legislative council coming up and all that's happening. But you are greatly appreciated. Thank you for all your work. This meeting is adjourned. And y'all have a blessed rest of your summer, okay?
Enjoy your summer. There won't be an emergency call for the summer, hopefully.
You don't say that. Who knows?
I talked it into existence, didn't I? I'm sorry.
Thanks, guys.
Bye. Take care.